One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. And listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
You're listening to the Degenerate Podcast. I'm Ryan Shores. With me, as always, Mr. Dave Callens.
Hello.
And behind the soundboard, Mr. Robert Timothy.
What a great day at Madhouse.
Isn't it, though?
It's fantastic.
Especially because we have a guest I'm very excited to have him on the show. He's our good buddy, Mr. Enrique Big Frog Cordero. What's up, buddy?
Hello, how you guys doing? Good to be here.
Thanks for being on, man. We've been wanting to have you on for a while.
Yeah, I've been wanting to do it.
Enrique is a comic, and we've known him for several years, and he's just going to be hanging out with us today. And I've got some questions for him. That
yeah, a little bit of insight we would love to get.
Yeah, a little insight. We will get to my main reason for having him on, because he is going to be a resident expert at something. First, I got to talk.
Neurosurgery?
Yes. Close. Okay. Not exactly.
Rocket dynamics. That's what we're going. Right? We wanted to talk about some of the SpaceX stuff. We brought in the physicists.
Don't bring that science bullshit in here, dude.
I can make up words too, Bobby. Anyway, little thing that happened. I've had a few shows this week, they've been all been going really good. Had a little interesting interaction with an audience member last week when I was headlining down South Bay. Good show. Alan Henderson runs it really nice, and the fact that he makes it an hour-long show at a bar show, so no
perfect
one gets
time for a bar.
Perfect. Just three comics. Boom, 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 and you're out of there.
Yeah. I think it would be funny if those degenerate listeners remembered there was a time in which Ryan and I almost launched Alan Henderson, who is in a wheelchair. We almost launched him across a crowd out of his wheelchair. It would be funny if this entire thing was his prank to get back at you, and he set up a fake show where you're supposed to be headlining, and you come ready to go, and there's just a bunch of angry people you have wronged in the audience.
Oh, so the UMF will be there?
Yeah.
I'm the king of pranks.
There's a SDSU fraternity, the UMF, a whole series of women.
So anyway, the show goes really well. I do a half hour. And now, first of all, I have no problem with people talking to me after shows. However, you guys see how I perform. It's high energy. Right. I'm not like Mark Maron that sits on a stool and laments for half an hour to an hour. I'm running around up there. It's a very physical bit.
It's active lamenting.
Yes. And so if you want to know what it feels like to do my bit, go on a treadmill, set it to sprint, and stay on it for 30 minutes. And that's what it feels like. And then when you
and
come
complain
off.
Complain about everything while you're doing it. Right. Just complain.
And what's wrong with this treadmill? The readout sucks. I can barely see the screen.
And afterwards, and after you get off that treadmill, immediately after, have someone you don't know walk up to you and start asking you questions about the treadmill, and then if you say, not now, please, have them go on Facebook and say you're a pompous dick that won't talk to people. So anyway, afterwards, I come off, and I'm hanging out with the comics. It was Kendrick and Alan outside the...
Name dropper, this guy. Can you believe this shit?
How dare you interrupt me? So anyway, I'm outside this particular venue, and this kid comes up to us. He's about, I don't know, maybe 21, 22. He does the whole like, hey man, I'm looking to become a comic myself, and you know, which is fine.
As soon as I hear that though, I'm like, oh Jesus, this again.
Yeah, I'm not the hipster comic that likes to do like the let me give you a piece of advice. Don't fuck you. I'm not that guy. But it's like one of those things where it's like, I know what's gonna happen. It's gonna be. How do I get into comedy? I'm going to say open mics. They're going to fucking not like that advice. So anyways.
But there's no other advice to give. Like
open mics, as much as you can.
I mean, look, here is your advice. How do I get into comedy? A, start doing open mics. B, be Mitzi Shore's son. That's all you can say.
Yeah.
Right.
So
no, you're holding out the good advice on him. What you need to say is like do Conan.
Yeah.
And then get a sitcom.
There you go.
What they're ultimately asking you is they're implying you should hand them a list of phone numbers that will all give them as much time as they want for a packed audience. That's really, if you break down what anyone's really asking, it's like, how can I get a shortcut? Anyway, so this guy was a little bit different. He's like, I'm trying to be a comic too. I'm like, okay, man, well, I started at the open mic at Winston's when I first started. There's also one at the Comedy Store still, maybe. Anyway,
Shores draws a sword. There can be only one. Starts running out.
So anyway, I'm like, all right, man, well, good luck with that. And so he hands me and Kendrick his phone without saying a word. He hands us his phone, and he says, what do you think? I'm like, please don't let it be a dick pic. So,
hey, is this the new 6 Edge? This is great. Yeah, wow, what a great phone.
It's open to the notepad feature. Now, we didn't read it, but with a couple swipes of the finger, we realized that this document is pages and pages long, and he just kind of steps back and goes, So tell me what you think. And Kendrick goes, What am I looking at here? And he goes, my jokes, tell me what you think. And he wants us to read pages and pages of his material. By the way, he didn't open with that. He didn't say, hey, man, I have some jokes here. You know, would you mind? I know you're busy, but, you know, could you maybe take a look at a couple? He just handed it to us and went, go ahead. Let's go. Let's have it.
He probably thinks that's a common activity that we just do. Yeah, like, yeah. Hey, check this out.
No, here's what he thinks. He thinks you're going to call a manager that you don't have and be like, hey, I got the best new comic in town. Let's get him a pilot right now. Yeah. Like, that's what he thinks is going to happen.
I saw a notepad feature open on an iPhone for about 4.5 minutes outside of an open mic the other night. And let me tell you, this is the next Anthony Jeselnik. He's going to kill it.
So anyway, we basically say, I'm sorry, man. I don't want to do that. You know, I there's no nice way to say it. I'm not about to be nice because he's kind of, at this point, being a little bit rude. So I'm just like, me and Kendrick were like, we don't really want to do that, man. And then he gives us the super indignant, like, oh, I see how it is. Oh, Mr. Big Shot over here at a bar show is too good to read through 80 pages of my jokes whenever I tell him to. Ooh, your majesty.
What's funny is your answer of do open mics is essentially saying, take those jokes you think are good, go up and tell them in a way you think is good, and then other people will notice. And he's like, let's just have you circumvent that for
like
me.
That's so fucking lazy to hand you a notepad of jokes. You're not even performing the jokes. Like, imagine Shores headlining a show.
Them. They're on a phone.
Dude, imagine Shores is performing at a show, and when he goes up, he just passes his notebook to the first. Yeah. Hey, you guys, pass that around. Everybody have a laugh while I stand up here. And,
tell me what you think. And then after that, he kind of comes to his senses, and then he starts doing what I talked about before, which is, so, man, how do I really do this, though? And I went, like I said, man, open mics. And he goes, no, really. He's like, no, but really. Like, I really want to get into comedy. I'm like, you really have to do open mics. He's like, I don't have time for all that, man. I'm like, are you fucking serious right now? What do you want me to tell you?
I have heard that occasionally, and that is a very weird thing. I remember when we first started Kumite a long time ago, and we were actually fairly new too, and we're like, okay, we just want to get time, so we're going to start our own show so we can get as much time as possible.
Sure.
And
most people do that. That's not.
Yeah, and it's fucking hard. You got to put in a lot of time. You got to put a lot of effort. You got to go do open mics. You got to get people to come to your open mic and the whole nine yards. And I once had somebody say, okay, this is nice, but how do I get paid? Like, when are you guys going to pay? And I was like, oh, we don't pay. We're an open mic. We don't even get paid yet. We would not be paying anybody. And they were like, yeah, but how do I get paid? And I was like, well, you do a whole bunch of open mics and stuff. And his first thing was, I don't have any time for that. This has to move faster. And in my mind, I started going through all these scenarios. I'm like, oh my God, did he just get diagnosed with cancer? Like, what is the speed limit that he has put on this? And how does it, and I was trying to think, I was like, is this like a Tony Robbins thing? Like, I can't take no for an answer and I got to keep going.
Listen,
until I
the
succeed.
The bad guy from Die Hard with a Vengeance just called me.
Yeah.
And he says, if I don't become a stand-up comedian professionally in 3 months, he's going to blow up City Hall. Yeah. I don't have this kind of time.
The restriction is always weird. I'm wondering if it's either extreme motivation. I've gotten pumped up. I've taken some self-help seminars. I need to get this done now. I'm going the extra mile. Or if it's the laziness of like, yeah. I don't want to do it that way.
Yeah. Right. No, and this has happened a bunch to me. And I remember I told you guys we're an older guy that is around the scene that just decided to, he was going to rediscover show business in his golden years. Every time I see him, he goes, hey, I saw you just did a tour. How do I get on the road? And I go, it took me years before I started getting road gigs that paid, man. Like, I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
Give me some numbers. I'm like, fuck off.
Dude, sometimes they have movie premieres where stars attend and whatever. I want to go to one of those. And then when it's done, I want to walk up to someone face and be like, so what do you got for me in the sequel? Let's talk. How many lines am I going to have? Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. Right. And now let's talk merchandising rights to my action figure. You know what I should start doing? From now on, when someone comes up to me and says, oh, you want to hear some of my jokes? I should just act super blown away and I am going to take him on the road with me. I should do it a super old-timey vaudevillian voice. Oh, this is gold, kid. Pure aces. You know what? You have a day job? Quit it. You're coming with me, kid. Welcome to show business.
You're the best I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I don't say that every day.
Yeah. You know what you should tell them? quit your day job, and then wait out front of your house for me with your bags packed. I'm picking you up tomorrow.
Make sure it's on a stick and a spindle.
Yeah. Well, that might be it. The time crunch might be that's how much time till his unemployment.
That could be
down.
It.
That's definitely it. Oh,
here's shit. How you do it, Ryan. You work to your own merch. You start selling a book called The Real Way to Start Getting Paid for Comedy. Then you start selling it at your table. They come up and say, how do I do it? Oh, right here, bro. $28.99. It'll tell you everything you need to know. And every page it just says, go to open mics. Go to open mics.
That's the advice you should give him. You should be like, more than anything else, you got to come up with merch.
And a catchphrase.
Don't worry about jokes. Don't worry about material. Come up with some merch. Sell it at shows, even shows you're not on.
Yeah.
Do the Zach Miller approach.
Merch, work backwards from merch.
The merch shouldn't even have anything to do with your set or style of comedy.
Yeah, like I said, the Zach Miller approach.
If you can pick up some, like, used secondhand, very cheap My Little Ponies bulk t-shirts, buy those and sell those at your show.
You know what your merch should be? It should just be block letters that says no time for open mics. You sell those.
In an affliction font.
Right.
Yeah, with a big sparkly tiger on it.
Dude, there was a comic we had here at Madhouse a while ago. I forget his name. Eric Schwartz, maybe. He does like this really weird.
The Eric Schwartz?
Yeah, it's like, I don't
you
know.
You had him here?
He does music and shit. It's weird. But he sold merch after, and it was like 8 different types of t-shirts that you would see at like Hot Topic.
Oh, he's got a whole clothing line then. That's not merch.
They were
That's
just like random
line.
Joke t-shirts. They weren't even part of his act.
Right.
Like there was one, it was a teddy bear behind bars, like it was in prison, and the teddy bear had a name tag on. So the teddy bear's name was Hugs, and at the top of the shirt it said free Hugs.
Nice.
And he had like 8 or 9, and we're like, what the fuck
so
is this?
Like novelty things.
Exactly.
You see at the clearance bin at Target, like ironic shirts.
I mean, that's the way to do it if you think about it. If you go and get shirts made, Ryan, you know this. You've done shirts before.
Yeah.
You got to go pay your merchandiser. You got to pay your graphics person to design it. Then you go send it to them. You pay. And if you get enough bulk, maybe you're down to $10 a unit or something.
I don't have time for all that. What kind of shirts can I sell? I don't need to put work in.
That's what I'm saying. If instead you find some bulk shirts online, you could probably knock that down to $3-$4 a unit, sell that for the same price, boom, up your profit margin.
You know what the biggest trouble I have with merch is estimating which sizes I need the most of.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, you spend around like $200 to get a new order of merch in, and it's like, all right, what size? It's like, give me 3 of each. I don't know. And then every time I'll go to a show, and all of a sudden, like, the mediums will all sell out. And there's like 20 more people like, you got any more mediums? I'm just sitting on like all these XLs and smalls. Like, God damn it.
I have a large and a dryer.
Yeah.
All my shirts would have to be 3X.
Right.
Because anybody who would wear my shirt wears big shirts.
Yeah.
Dude, like merch is so weird though. Cause I've seen some bad merch and it all, you can tell it comes from like someone's trying to be unique.
Yeah.
But they come up with weird, like someone had an air freshener, a car air freshener, which is like a neat idea, but it's like, who's really going to buy that? You know? Yeah.
I made my shirt with the specific intention, like, would I wear this if I didn't even know who this person was? Like, is it just cool looking to where I could just wear it to the grocery store and someone would be like, hey, cool looking shirt. It's not weird to me. I get why they do it, but when comics make their merch with like something that like an inside joke from the actual show.
Yeah.
It's like great on the way out. I know where they buy it. Like, ah, I love that joke. Give me 2. And that's great. But at the same time, it's like, I can't wear this just anywhere.
Yeah. Right. Unless the joke is self-contained and you get it by looking at the shirt. If it's just part of an ongoing set, you have confused 99.99% of people who will see you throughout that day wearing the shirt.
Right.
You will sell some of that just for people who had fun and want like a memento or souvenir. Right. You'll sell some.
There's also the thing where like some people just, they want to talk to you. They don't want to feel like a dick.
Right.
They've been in line, so they just buy something.
Yeah.
You don't really have to worry about what happens to it after that.
It's really an impulse buy, if you think about it.
For
like, you know, I sold a lot of shirts when I did my last tour, and it's people that just came out drunk, really enjoyed me, and went, hey, I'll take 2. And the next day, they woke up and used it to clean their car. You know? Like, another instance is my friend Ken. He has a bit in his act where he realizes later in life one of his teachers in high school name was Dr. Dick Inserto. And so one of his merch shirts is like the finger going into the hole. It says Dr. Dick Inserto. I'm like, I can't wear this.
Right.
I can't just wear this to the market and not have people keep their kids closer to them.
Look like you're claiming to be Dr. Dick Inserto.
It does. It's like, call me.
I think it'd be funny. One route to go for merch should be, instead, you should try and sell things that people wouldn't otherwise buy, but they're saying it's merch. They're buying it because you have an underlying reason. You're just ashamed to normally buy it. You're like, here's my merch. It's my name on a fleshlight. And you're like, oh, okay, this is acceptable now. I can just buy this in public.
I was trying to help out a comedian, a struggling comedian. Yeah. I am a philanthropist.
I think you should sell merch that people are just going to want regardless. Like, just sell a bushel of apples after the show. You want an apple? Doesn't even have your name, nothing on it, just an apple. There you go.
The thing about those shirts, too, is like I won't buy a comedian's shirt for the same reason I won't buy a bootleg shirt outside a concert. That's because next week's not going to fit me.
Right.
Next week's going to be small.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Oh, by the way, longtime listeners of the show know I've been following this news story for like since it happened, which was like, what, 2014? Our boy War Machine.
Ooh, what happened?
Convicted. 29 out of 34 counts. I'm thinking he's doing life.
You know what though? He got saved, so it's all right.
Ah, he's a Jesus man these days.
Yeah, he's waiting for Chrissy Mack to forgive him. Actually,
yeah,
that would be the Christian thing to do.
Well, we know there's at least one MMA fighter who's already forgiven him, but
that's true.
The one that was on our show.
Oh, right.
You know, there's a bunch. I don't know War Machine, but I know people that know him.
Right.
And, like, I know a dude that used to train him in boxing, and he loves War Machine. And he's like, pray for war.
Yeah.
Going through hard times, whatever, whatever, whatever.
We heard a lot of that ourselves, actually.
Yeah. I like that he's going through hard times, not he's a shitty person.
Right.
I like pray for war is also the Republicans' new
pray for war, man. That's
that'd be good merch.
Yeah, so he's selling it in prison.
I'll reiterate what happened here. War Machine, who I knew from just training in San Diego. He was a San Diego guy, and I was every time he'd walk near me, I'd be afraid just because I knew how unstable he was.
He beat up dudes outside of bars
and outside the boxing gym, I think City Boxing and stuff, a few other places. He was, by the way, and we should say, while a horrible person, an incredibly talented MMA fighter.
Of course.
He is not some third-rate half dude or something. He was very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He, I mean, he fought for the UFC and Bellator. He was very talented. But, I mean, for instance, this is how much he made me uneasy is, I was one night drinking with my friend Brian over at the Red Fox Room, and War Machine comes in. And we were certainly never friends, but he recognized me just from being around. So he'd always give me like the little what's up head nod. I'm like, hey. And Brian goes, oh, who's that guy? I'm like, don't look at him. He's like, what? I'm like, don't look at him. He's like, why? I'm like, because he might take it the wrong way. And I'm like, he's like, are you fucking serious? I'm like, don't look in his direction.
Right.
Don't get near him. Anything could set him off, and I can't protect you.
He might see red. Yeah. And when that happens, what are you going to do?
So, anyways, 29 out of 34 counts. He skated the attempted murder charge.
Which is pretty impressive, considering he attempted to murder somebody.
In the sense that he said, stay right here. I'm getting a knife to come back and kill you with.
Well, just that and the beating itself. I mean, he fractured ribs.
Broke an orbital bone.
Yeah, and when you're that talented a fighter, especially fighting not only somebody who's not a fighter, but also happens to have a more delicate skeleton because they are a woman.
Right.
If you are fighting
110 pound woman,
if you are fighting that person with that level of skill that he had, that's kind of attempted murder just in and of itself.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw that interview, but at some point they were interviewed together. I don't know. It might have been AVNs or something.
Before the incident.
And she said, you know, eventually he's probably going to kill me. Ha ha ha.
Yeah. Yeah, she was. That was her, like, trying to cry for help, like a hostage.
Yeah, exactly.
That was her slipping a note to the bank cashier. This man with me, you see him behind my shoulder? Call for police. So, and the AVN was fun. Good one. Next guy.
Right.
So, anyway, now, Big Frog. First of all, how'd you get the nickname Big Frog?
Basically, it's Frog, right?
Okay.
You know, I call people like, you know, like I say, hey, Big Dave, what's up, Big Dave? So then they start calling me Big Frog back.
Okay.
And I just like, oh, Big Frog, that sounds cool.
So how'd you get Frog?
You know, Frog is a gang name.
Okay.
Basically.
It's like the Little Rascals gang name. I love it.
You know what's funny is I know another guy, don't take offense to this, even more choloed out, I think, than Big Frog.
Right.
And also has a Mexican gang name, and his is Gopher. And I'm like, man, this is really interesting.
The thing is that one thing that people don't realize, you don't get to pick your name.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I've been saying this for years.
You don't get to pick your name. But you would think, you know, this guy's he's got fucking neck tattoos and stuff.
Right.
And I was like, shouldn't they call you Killer or like fucking Bloodlust? Like Gopher?
In the 80s, there was a lot of Smurfs.
Yeah. Like, there'd be a guy who just murdered somebody in the street, and you'd be like, go pop a Smurf, you do it.
You gotta get that Smurf.
Oh shit! Here comes Thundercat.
Yeah.
Wait, how? Why is this a thing in Mexican
gangs?
I'm in a gang
called Voltron.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times, I mean, like, let's say for example, if you were raised in L.A. or in the ghetto here, right, you're in a gang before you know you're in a gang. You know, it's
really?
Just like they're just your friends, and you, and those are the dudes, and then one of them gets beat up, and you all have to go.
Right.
You know, and you graduate little by little. That's not my story. I came up as a heavy metal kid, heavy metal bands, whatever. Yeah. I didn't get into that type of life until later.
Until I was like 4, 5
yeah,
years old.
You know, but then it's just like, hey, well, you know, you look like a frog, so.
You know. Dude, that's like an Animal House when he's giving all the new pledges nicknames, right, like Flounder. Why Flounder? Why not?
Yeah, basically, you know. I've had dudes know that. Tried to change their name.
Oh, you can't
do that. Start calling themselves Wolfie.
Yeah.
When they used to be
Penguin.
Know, whatever it is, you know. Yeah.
I love how nicknames can be 3 or 4 levels removed. We once had a guy in the fraternity who had the same type of thing, like you've described. There's a guy going around to all the pledges, and he's like, "You, you're fat ass. You're ugly as shit. You look like that actor. What's his name? Steve Buscemi. Your new name is Buscemi." Not only did that guy get named Buscemi, 2 years later, when his little brother came to the same college, went to the same fraternity, he automatically became Little Buscemi.
Right, and that's the same way it works. That's the same way
I like
works.
How Bobby's like, no, I understand gang life. I was in a fraternity at Berkeley.
Yeah, that's right. Now,
so
idea.
I get it.
Same idea.
Now, it doesn't always work out. Like, if you meet a gang dude and his name's Boxer.
Right.
You probably don't want to fuck with that dude.
That's true.
Because he's not just a boxer in a civilian.
Maybe
he's
just got
a
dog.
Among tough guys.
And that's his right. friend Beagle.
But then his kid brother comes up and he's Little Boxer.
Ah.
So he can't fight.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
Bummer. It's like John Holmes' son with a little dick, you know?
Yeah.
Man, was that his porn name? Because that's a horrible porn name.
So now, little dick. I got some questions. You made it no secret that, you know, you've done some time in the penitentiary.
Right.
Now, what for, by the way?
Possession for sale.
Okay.
The original charge that led me there was an armed robbery, which was not really an armed robbery, but
okay.
So it wasn't for like bootlegged movies or anything like that.
When I got, yeah.
Yeah. Now, how long did you do?
Almost 3 years. Yeah.
That's a hard time. So I have to ask you, because none of us have been to the pen.
Right.
What is War Machine's yes. day going to look like from now on?
Well,
just give us a play-by-play.
War Machine has some choices to make.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, before Frog goes in, I want to just mention, Shores and I were talking about this, and we were wondering, is he going to be the kind of guy that you leave him alone because he's a badass, or the kind of guy who everyone's going to fight him to sort of prove
to test themselves? What do you think?
And so we want to ask Frog.
Okay, well, first of all, he's not going to be alone.
Okay.
He's going to be what we call Woods, which
okay.
are the white boys.
Right.
Okay?
But is he white?
I don't
he
know
is any. For the purposes of the penitentiary.
Yeah. Really? Is he half something? Is he half Mexican?
Frog actually processes paperwork.
Okay.
He's not half anything that's going to serve him better than being white.
Okay,
yeah,
fair
okay,
enough.
Gotcha.
Okay. So it's like a hierarchy where the prison gangs that you hear about, like Aryan Brotherhood and
right.
all that,
yeah.
those are like the made guys.
Okay.
But all the white boys who want to be down, mm-hmm. who want to be protected,
yeah.
those are the rank and file.
Right.
Okay.
So he's going to most likely join up with them. Now, if this rumor about him being saved or whatever,
right.
that is a way out of the gang life in prison, one of the very few ways.
Really?
And that's basically to hide. We call it hiding in the chapel.
Okay.
Where's that fool? He's hiding in the chapel.
He's going to join a gang called God's Boys.
Exactly.
His nickname's Lord Machine.
Yeah. And people will kind of respect that and leave you alone.
Really?
If you don't start any shit or cause any shit. It's just like, yeah, the Christian.
So it's a one-time pass, but the minute you shank someone, like, you were faking.
You're no longer, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so that's the way to do it. Now, is there a gang of Christian guys that don't want to start any shit, but they'll protect their own, or no?
Really, they're just trying to avoid anything.
Okay.
You know, and
you get beat up, they'll pray for you, but that's about it.
There'll be short timers a lot of times that are just like, man, I just got to do this year.
Yeah.
It's already been 2 months.
Yeah.
I'm just going to stay low.
Yeah.
Keep my head down.
Key, that would be my thing if I ever went into the pen. Like, I'm like, I'm not trying to turn this 2 years into life
right.
by like doing an initiation where I have to stab somebody. And now 2 years turns into I've fucked my life up.
Right.
Yeah, that's horrible, man. I've realized my options if I ever go to prison are I either have to join up with white supremacists or super Christians. I'm going to have to break my moral stance either way.
You have to renounce science.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, okay. So he's probably going to join. You think he's going to hide in the chapel, or you think he's going
to? I don't see him hiding in the chapel.
Yeah. Okay.
I think he'll be with his boys and he'll be very well respected. He'll be a rock star for all, you know.
Okay.
If they allow him to be on the main line.
Okay.
But they might not. They didn't in Nevada. He was in solitary almost the whole time, but yeah, they were scared of what he might do. Or
right.
Now they'll probably loosen the reins once he gets in the state.
Okay.
Isn't there, there's a hierarchy, right, where obviously child molesters are on the bottom, but don't people who beat the fuck out of women also not get treated so well in jail?
Absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely. I was wondering that too.
But there are different standards in different gangs.
And he just saw red, so, you know, yeah, he gets a pass.
So,
we know how the mongrels feel.
The white boys are a little more lax on things.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
We have it a little bit more strict.
Right.
And I guess it's going to be viewed that she wasn't exactly just an innocent victim in it.
She was fucking another dude. Right.
Whatever
okay.
it is.
So okay.
It's not the same as if, you know, he just like grabbed some chick off the street and fucking.
So you think he won't face too much backlash from that in prison?
He will. He will, but not, it's not going to be a problem for him.
Okay.
I wouldn't think.
I mean, one thing to think about is, so legitimately, like we said, he's a very talented fighter. He is a talented fighter among fighters, which if you take a non-talented fighter, put him against your average person, even your dude who grew up rough and tumble, your regular average fighter will beat the shit out of him.
Right. Right.
You then take a very talented fighter,
right,
a guy who now...
World class.
Yeah,
right.
A guy who can now put on a whole bunch of muscle, so he's no longer going to be at like 170 or whatever.
No, that guy's going to be light heavy in no time.
Oh, yeah, if he's not already there right now.
No, he's not. He's actually lost a lot of weight.
Oh, really?
If you look at his photo...
He went vegan? Right, so you take that guy who now doesn't have those restrictions and stuff, and then you also put in the fact that he doesn't have to follow the rules of MMA when he's in these fights.
You know that no biting rule always chap my ass.
That's a very, very powerful opponent. At the same time, in the end, numbers always win.
Yeah,
right?
If you want to get him, you'll get him.
Yeah, in the end, if five dudes want to get you and they're smart enough to not attack one by one Ninja Turtle style, they're going to win that fight.
Right. Do you think that amongst his boys, he'll start training them and kill them with a super gang?
There's a good chance. Like, we used to have dudes that would be kind of like the leader of the PT.
Right.
You get out there and, you know, like the way we would do it, you had mandatory workouts every day up until the age of 45. Then you don't have to do it anymore.
Within the gang.
Within the gang.
Okay.
And we're out there in the yard in, you know, what do they call that?
Formation.
Like a little army.
Right.
Just basically showing everybody, look.
Yep.
This is what we're doing.
Right. Wow. And you don't want to fuck with the Mexicans anyway because they have all the top tier boxers now. So you don't want to. They're too
fast.
They
got boxer. Yeah. Little boxer.
Yeah.
And you know, Big Frog was in charge of guarding the tomb of the unknown Cholo.
Dude, I want to ask you, like, is War Machine, is he going to attract attention? Like, is someone in there going to be like, if I can knock this guy off by myself, I'm going to make a name for myself? Like, is he going to be.
Well, I would say no. I would say no because, like, for example, let's say that we're in together. We're homies, right?
Yeah.
I'm not just allowed to fight you.
Mm-hmm. Right? Okay.
I gotta ask for permission
from a higher
from whoever's
up.
Whoever's running, whoever's got the keys to.
But
the
like from a different gang, I mean, I'm saying.
Well, then that will become a riot.
Oh, okay.
It won't be a one-on-one. I mean, it might be for a minute.
So if somebody from another gang is like, if I can kick War Machine's ass, I'll be the man. And he goes after him, then he's gonna start a whole thing.
He's gonna cause a whole thing. And if it's a Mexican dude, then later on, we're going to find out that he did that for no good reason, and then we're going to fuck him up.
Oh, wow.
You caused this dude to miss his conjugal visit.
Oh.
This dude to fucking get sent off the yard. This dude's in the hole because what you did.
Oh,
so
wow.
You're responsible.
That's fucking interesting.
Any shit you caused.
Okay. All right.
Hey, let me ask you this. I've been curious about this for a long time. I've never talked to somebody who actually has firsthand experience. Is there a way that you could refine the prison system so you wouldn't be in these race-central gangs and things would not work that way? Is there something you could do?
Bobby wants to be the Rosa Parks of fucking prisons.
I just walk in. I am a Crip.
I identify as a Crip.
If you had unlimited funds,
right?
Yeah.
Like, what would you do? That's what I'm saying. Like, what would be the process? How would you,
if Bruce Wayne,
how would you refine the American prison system so you wouldn't have? It's weird that we have these gang-centric things. Like, if you look at other countries' penitentiaries, they don't do this.
Right. Well, our penitentiaries here are set up to make money.
Yes.
So it's we still use have
private prisons, don't
high
we?
Occupancy,
yep,
right, and low overhead.
Mm-hmm.
So the majority, almost everything you do, like before I went to prison, I had a friend of mine say, "Yeah, man, you know, I was working in the kitchen at Donovan, la 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 la." I thought he had a job at the prison in the kitchen at Donovan.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No, there are no jobs in Donovan except guards.
Yeah.
Everything else is done by the prison.
And what do you make, like 35 cents a day?
That would be top shelf.
Oh, really?
When I first got to Ironwood, I was making 8 cents an hour filling sandbags.
Well, okay.
Right? Wow.
To which I decided, because I'm a lazy fuck, I'm not going to do that.
You might actually just come across a dime and double your hourly
right?
wage.
Right? Yeah. So I took a tumble down a hill.
Yeah.
Got a, oh, you know, I'm hurt for
did
a
you throw
weeks.
Yourself down a hill is what you're saying?
Have you seen that Chris Farley thing? That was Big Frog.
Yeah. So I got a medical pass for a couple of weeks, and then I got a job because I tested at a certain level.
Do you have to get a job?
You don't have to, but that will affect your status. Like, for example, let's say I have A1A status. That means I have a job and I'm not under any kind of trouble.
Okay, so that'll affect your parole and
right,
stuff?
Right, well, I can get phone calls, I can get visits,
okay.
I can get packages. In the,
see, I kind of like this part of prison, this meritocracy. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
You know, and that's all, I have to be within grooming standards.
Oh, okay.
You know, like you
dude,
can't.
I got to wonder though, like, when you're paying someone 8 cents an hour, why do you bother paying them at all? Like, seriously.
Because
like,
otherwise it's considered slavery. Well, so I think legally they have to give you something.
They get the money back at the commissary anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, so you have something so you can buy something.
Yeah.
You know, it's like.
In three more days of hard labor, I'll get a pack of Skittles. Yeah.
They figured out how to make it work. And you're not out there really working hard or anything.
Yeah.
But you're out there. Like, this is in the desert. It was hot as fuck.
I do like that felons in the pen actually make more money than stand-up comics do.
That's true.
Yeah.
We just go for stage time.
That's true.
But see, here's what I'm thinking. Like, I always figure I got about a 50-50 chance of going to prison at some point in my life.
I'll take those odds.
Yeah. I think it sucks that I have to then go join a white supremacist gang. Like, they're not going to like me. I'm not going to like them.
Plus, you'd be in for grave robbing. So that's, like, down there at the bottom.
I was like, man, why isn't there another option? Why don't they have a place where you can go where you can be like, hey, guess what? I know I'm being punished, and I'd like to be healed as a human being. I would like to not join a violent race gang.
Right. Well, the cool thing is that you can be kind of like a silent member in a sense where you're just there. And the only thing that you really have to do is if there's a riot, you have to be part of it.
Okay.
That's it. Other than that.
Just standing in the back.
Play ball, like, man, for God's sake.
In the movies, they have, we're going to send you to go do this. We're going to send you to, you're going to hold the shanks, whatever. The cool thing is there are people in there that this is their career.
Yeah.
Right?
They're in there
they
for life.
They want to advance. They want to do good. And so they volunteer to do all that shit. You don't have to volunteer to do that shit.
Okay.
Now, they find out that, hey, you know what? This fool, he knows how to make wine.
Yeah.
Like, he was making wine on the outside. Well, guess what? You're going to be fucking making wine.
Right.
So, you know, some things you have a choice about, some things you
how don't. Is toilet wine? Did you have any of that shit?
It's the fucked up thing about it is that you hardly ever get the finished product.
Okay.
Because it gets to stinking.
And then you have to drink it.
The guards start to you know, start looking for it.
Yeah.
And then you need to drink it, number one, to get rid of it. And number two, because you've already put however much time into it.
Yeah.
So you're going to end up usually jacked up stomach, I mean, I was one time shitting on the toilet, puking in a bucket at the same time.
Oh, because of the Pruno?
Yeah.
So, Frog has just given me a great idea, which is
you're gonna sell toilet wine as your merch.
Yeah.
At your shows.
And in prison. No, if I ever go to prison, I'm gonna look for somebody in my same situation who also doesn't want trouble, who's on the Mexican side of things, and then when the riot strikes, we look at each other, wink, and just kind of fake tussle a little bit, and we both go down, oh, he got me good. That guy's a badass, don't fuck with him. And we just do that, and then we're good with our
they both have those little retractable knives to get a costume so just shaking each other.
Oh, man, he's hardcore.
I'm the king of shanks. I'm the king of shanks.
That's perfect.
Another rumor I've heard about prison is that you guys have to find kind of get creative ways to make like little dishes in there, little food snacks.
All kinds of things.
Okay, give me some examples. I'm very curious about this.
Like,
because I'm a bit of a culinary hobbyist myself.
You're talking about food.
Food.
Right? Okay. basically, your top ramen soup is going to be the base for most of your things.
Okay.
All right, I'm on board. Let's go.
Right. And what you do is instead of making the soup like as directed,
yeah,
you make it like that. But
that's what he was in for, by the way, not following directions on how to make the ramen.
You drain the water out of it before you add like the packet and whatever.
Yeah.
And then you just add whatever you have.
Okay. Cheetos and
all kinds of shit. And you make it to a consistency of like a casserole.
Okay.
Right? And different people make it different styles. Every once in a while, you might see one of mine. I put pictures on Facebook. This is I call it a double cheeseburger spread. You know,
how'd you make that?
Ironwood style. That's, you know, here, obviously, I have access to ground beef.
Right.
In there, that might not be, you know.
What, you wait till hamburger day and, like, into there?
You can do that, yeah.
Okay.
You know, so if you have somebody who works in the kitchen, they sneak back shit. You know,
yeah.
Everybody sneaks back shit from wherever it is that they work.
Okay.
So you might have
Big Frog's like, I got a shovel. Get the fuck out of here.
I brought sand.
You might have, well, those, you know, a lot of those dudes
spend
their
filler.
Time catching lizards.
Really?
They catch lizards and those horny toads.
Yeah.
Bobby, you'd be on that team. Hey, go catch us some lizards.
Oh, sell us pets?
Have pets. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I thought you meant for food. Okay. That's what I thought. Interesting.
Oh, you could probably throw one in a spread. Nobody would notice.
I've heard a big thing now is because they got rid of tobacco products in California prisons, right?
Did they?
And
that's
weights.
Terrible.
I think they got rid of weights and tobacco products. So you can't smoke and you can't lift weights.
Yeah, the weights was a long time ago.
Oh, because people were just.
Tobacco's new to me.
Because we realized it was a horrible idea to put violent people in kind of like a superhuman Dolph Lundgren training program.
Right.
And so we decided to take the weights out. I think they should go one step further, go like vegan or something so there's no protein so they can't build the muscle.
Well, I think now the dudes actually, you know, they still get strong and now they maintain their flexibility.
Oh, that's right, because they do like yoga.
You know, yeah.
I remember a big thing they used to do because sometimes they would come through areas where we were working and the guards or the COs would come around and they look ahead of time because I guess some racket is, you know, your buddy is going to be working that day outside. So you go there the day before and you hide like some chewing tobacco or something. You tell him where.
Yeah.
Then when he comes on the pickup crew, he goes to that spot, takes that chewing tobacco. Now he can take it and sell it inside.
You know, one day I was living – I had just gotten out. I was living at my sister's. She lives over there by Southwestern College.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was walking from the Ralphs through Southwestern to get back to her house with a six-pack of IPAs and whatever, whatever. And I'm walking, and I see some fools from Donovan out there cleaning up or whatever.
Right.
And I'm just like, man, as much as I didn't want to, I left a six-pack and
body
for them to get it.
Pay it forward.
Oh, you know? Dang.
So, nice. Yeah.
That's karma. That's prison karma right there.
Yeah. Dude, I'm always amazed at how fucking resourceful those guys in prison are. Like, they come up with shit that I couldn't make.
They're the true MacGyvers.
They really are.
Absolutely.
A lot of time.
A lot of motivation. Like, if the shank is between you and dying, you're going to make a really good shank.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like that would be my game in prison. I would be, like, the Q of prison building shanks and other things in there.
And that's
would be a very much.
Well, here's what I have for you today.
You know? I mean, obviously, the best thing is if you can tattoo. If you can tattoo, you got to make it. You know? Even if you're shitty.
Yeah.
You know, because you could still do SD.
Dude, Bobby, you should do that as your merch. Have a tattoo gun at the end of your show. It's like, hey, who wants a Bobby Timothy original?
I made this out of a pen and an old Walkman motor. Yeah.
One thing that I probably need to dispel is, you know, they have shit like, you know, War Machine or like Aaron Hernandez when he got busted, whatever.
Right.
And there was all those jokes. Oh, well, you know, he's not going to be a tight end no more.
Oh,
la, 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 la,
la, la, la, la.
You know, so there's not as much rape as you might think.
You're not going to get fucked in the ass in prison unless you want to, most likely.
Wow.
Or unless you're by yourself.
Okay.
If you're by yourself, then you might could be victimized. But
hey, he was asking for it, you know? Shouldn't have been there alone.
Yeah.
So you're saying as long as you are affiliated with somebody, you're fine.
You're pretty good, yeah.
Nice.
What, unless you fuck up in such a way that you piss them off, right?
Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, if you get excommunicated or whatever the case would be, jumped out, you're fucked. You're pretty
literally
fucked. And that would happen, you know, if somebody finds out you're a snitch, somebody finds out you're a child molester, somebody finds out you're something like that, you know, nobody approves of.
Yeah. Okay.
Interesting.
So there's less rape than you think. There's a lot of ingenuity. You got to figure out ways to get your job and keep it. Actually, prison sounds like quite of a fun place.
You know, I've heard a lot of people, like dudes that are in the Navy and they talk about their time on the ship and shit like that. It's very, very similar.
Really? I've heard that. Yeah. I've heard that
Except
too.
For we don't get a Mustang.
Dude, I actually think that sometimes. Like, you know what? Maybe it would be so bad to go to prison. I can have a little time to myself, sort my shit out.
Really? Write a lot? You know, just focus on me. You refused to let me help celebrate your birthday the other night. Maybe a time alone is what you want. All right. Well, Big Frog, thank you so much for giving us this insight. We'd like to have you back. Maybe from now on, when someone major goes to jail, let's get our expert, in.
Yes. Our prison correspondent, Big Frog?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Perfect.
I would venture to say you're our new unofficial member of the show. Our regular prison correspondent. I like this.
I like that too, because again, 50-50 chance I'm going there someplace. I'm going to need some advice.
It really does fit the theme of this show too, having that be our resident expert. It's a little different than your show, Bobby, with the science
guy. With the scientist that comes in every
facts.
Week.
Yeah. He's our scientist. If I need to know how to make fish and chips out of sardines and some other bullshit, I need him.
Yeah.
All right. I'm Ryan for Bobby, Dave, and Big Frog saying see you next week, cruising with the twos. You're coming with me, kid. Welcome to show business.
Yeah, time passing by. Motherfucking time is passing by.
Guess what? You're gonna be fucking making what?